sporting action at the weekend.
One goal to win the title. It's as simple as that.
Oh, can you believe this?
Have you ever seen a try like that?
The Big Red Bench.
On Cork, good times.
Red FM.
All right, welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Go Times Red FM. Dan Case here with you for the next hour, keeping you up to date with all of the latest sporting action from around the Rebel County as well as further afield. Plenty coming up on the show, and we'll be getting all the info from Ger McCarthy in Super Value Park Heave, where Cork are putting it up to Kerry at least, but might be in need of a goal as we're currently down by 116 to 16 points. But we'll get to that one a little bit later. Munster are in URC action in the quarterfinal. They're playing the Sharks, of course, in South Africa. And after 23 minutes, it's nil to the Sharks. But Munster have 7 points on the board. I'll try to get the try score for you in a small bit. But there's another game everyone is talking about at the moment. And that is the Munster final of the hurling kind next weekend as Cork head back to the Gaelic grounds against Limerick in search of some silverware this time. Didn't go too well for us when we played Limerick the last day, but Pat Ryan is hoping for a big response.
Have you any better idea on the injury situation?
No, not really. Look, Ger Merlich is probably the only fella that'll definitely be out. He'll be out for about 3 to 4 weeks. He's a fracture on his fingers, not too bad to be honest with you, but it's just he needs to be in a splint for 3 weeks. So hopefully he'll be back for the next part of the All Ireland series. But he's the one for me, he'll definitely be out.
Okay.
Jack Callahan as well. Jack Callahan hurt his hamstring there last Thursday night.
Right.
Has been going great. Actually, he's been actually playing great, putting in great score since he joined us. It's been a while to kind of find his feet and. Over the last 3 or 4 weeks, he's been excellent, playing excellent with the Barrels as well in a couple of games we released him to. So, there are two fellas down, two fellas really definitely out. I suppose the key really is, look, we need to go up to Limerick with a full body, the fellas they're able to go in.
Yeah.
So, look, hopefully, look, we're back training Saturday. We need to see the lads on training on Saturday, so that'll be a system.
But then Decky and I'll Rob Downey, Robbie O'Flynn, all kind of in
attack. Yeah, Robbie will be okay. Robbie will train fully on Saturday. He should be available for selection. The other three, look, if they don't train Saturday, they won't be available for selection, but you would to start anyway.
Yeah.
And then see where that goes. You know, they're all doing running, they're all back doing running, they're all back with the physios, doing their rehabs and stuff like that, but getting back onto the field and training with the team is a different thing. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's unfortunate for Ger, Pat, isn't he? He seems to struggle to get a run of it,
Look, he's been great at the start of the league as well for us, and then lost, and then got injured and kind of came out of it, and then obviously, in fairness, Sean, he'd been injured after the Wexford game and came back in and kind of, you know, it's just, look, we did the whole competition places is tight, and unfortunately that's what happens with injuries move you down the pecking order small, but look, he was great the other day and we have great confidence in Ger, you know, any time that we need him to play, you know, so look, he's a great fella for a panel, great guy, great trainer, but just disappointing, you know, very disappointing because he's worked really, really hard, you know, he's really worked hard in the gym over the last kind of 18 months. He had a bit of an issue with his back there that kind of came from a legacy kind of injury with Father O'Neill's and stuff, but he really worked hard over the last kind of 18 months to get himself right, and he's been really, really good. This is just a bit of an unfortunate one, but that's the way it goes.
I suppose a lot of anger about the ticket prices for the game Saturday week. It's like €50 for a stand, I think it was €30 for the football final, like €40 even for a terrace, and like, I think this is your 12th game of the year. It's maybe asking a lot of people.
I suppose it is. Look, things are expensive. I suppose, look, it is, without a shadow of a doubt, but look, what I would say is, it's definitely expensive if we give the performance for Cork fans that we gave last year. You know, but if we give a performance where that was where we were able to play sometimes last year against Limerick, I think it'll be well worth it. But if we perform the exact same way as we did the last day above Limerick, there wasn't much value for money for the lads that went up the last day, but our job is to make sure that there's value for money for our fans going, and I don't think there was any Limerick person to be complaining about it if they put in the same performance they did the last day. So, but look, this is the times we're in, do you know, look, I think that's the same with every ticket prices. It's if the tickets are hard to get by, the prices go up, and if the tickets aren't, they'll be down, and that's the same whether it is hurling, football, concerts, whatever it is. You know, that's the way it is. So, look, but it is difficult for fellas. I would especially think that the terrace price is especially kind of, there should be a difference in the terrace price. I think that's probably a bit of a cost. But look, that's I don't set those things. We just look to make sure we can represent the lads as best we can.
Top three was obviously the objective. It's the objective for everyone. How important within that was it for this group, given where you are, to make a Munster final?
Well, I think it's an added bonus, really. Look, I suppose, from our point of view, we were involved in 3 years, and look, this is probably our fourth final, so like there's three finals to get to, and look, we've been in the league final, lost the All-Ireland final, won the league final, now we're in the Munster final again. I think it's the first final since 2018. So look, that's vital for our guys, because we've a lot of fellas that have Munster medals. We've also a lot of guys that be playing their first thing. So the more opportunities to get playing big games, and the more times you get to play Limerick and the best teams that are out there, the Limericks, the Clares and the Kilkennys and the Tipperarys and all those, the more times you get in really high pressure environments where there's something on the line, the better for our players going forward.
Given Waterford came 1 week after Limerick and there was so much riding on that Waterford fixture, did you get to properly reflect on Limerick, or is it only now that you're able to really sift through it?
I think probably John Moyle was probably the first manager that went through the kind of round robin, I'd say, in 2018. I'd say he was that kind of started that. So I remember John, obviously, with his premiership experience with his own son, he kind of referenced that and said, look, you just have to park and move on, and then reflect on it as you go forward. And that was our job. Look, we came in on Monday night to the gym, and look, we did reflect on it, on not really the tactical side of it, more the kind of emotional side of it, and the effort side of it, and the attitude side of it. That was the key for us. Look, there's games you'll win, there's games you lose, there's games you play well, you play bad, but your standard has to be your standard around your attitude and effort, and that wasn't what our standard has been over the last 3 years we've been in here, and that was the huge, most disappointing thing. We let down our fans above there. Losing to Limerick is never embarrassing or anything like that, but losing in that manner to any team is embarrassing. So look, we've reflected a bit tactically what we need to do. They've changed a bit of what they needed to do, and look, our job is to make sure that we're back at it on Saturday week.
Why do you think those basic markers of attitude, energy, were down to the extent they were?
What I would say is, if you lose by 5 or 6 points, you can kind of say, oh, we were tired, or we were this sort of 3 week break, or we had a long kind of campaign coming in off the league final. But when you get hammered by that, you just look at it systemically, where was that attitude from? And you know, we just left him hurled all over the field, and you know, it was a puzzling one. And look, I probably look back at my own role. Maybe I didn't go after him enough. Maybe I wasn't driving the standard over the last couple of weeks, and maybe a small bit of complacency fitted in as regards we were kind of winning matches and going well enough. But look, obviously Limerick were well prepared. Do you know what I mean? They did a lot of stuff right in the day, as they always do. But you could see that that was a game that they'd really, really targeted since we had beat them last year in the All-Ireland semi-final. And look, our job is to make sure that we're right next time.
Was it a bit easier to park it when it did come in a match like that, where there was a chance to beat Waterford and kind of make it count less? Like, you know, there was still almost a final there for you.
Wasn't easy to park it. Look, you're still in the championship. That's the main thing. Do you know what I mean? That is the main thing. Look, you have an opportunity to reflect on it, and you have an opportunity to right the wrong in 2 weeks' time, and we knew that. Look, but in saying that, I wasn't looking to get back in against Limerick in the Munster final. You know, as I said to someone, would you take a draw against Waterford and be out of it? I'd taken a draw, no problem, against Waterford yesterday morning. That was on Sunday morning, I'd have taken that, no problem. But we're in the Munster final now. We get an opportunity to represent ourselves better than what we did. And I can guarantee you that would be the case.
Are you able to draw on the scenario, was it leading into the 99 Munster final? Do you know, when you're coming up against the Clare team that had won with 3 of the previous 4 Munster titles, Cork hadn't won one in a while?
Our fellas wouldn't even know those stats, to be honest with you. So to not make them a bit pointless, even recommend. Look, we just try and concentrate on what we are doing. Look, I suppose there's an awful lot of thing written about this Limerick team, but look, I think their biggest stat is actually they're going for 7 Munster titles in a row, because look, that's the standard that they've set. Their standard has been really, really high with their attitude and their effort. They could have taken a break at any time over the last 6 months to finals, because you're in the next All-Ireland Road Series. Like, they haven't, you know what I mean? They haven't been focused on being the third team out or whatever that, and they've won. I think we're probably the last team to win a Munster final since then. Do you know, I think we won in 17-18 and they've won since. So look, that's, you know, maybe there's something in that as well. But look, they're a great team. Do you know what I mean? Their standard has been their standard every time they go out to perform, and that's what we're all trying to get to. But you can only get to that by being in these matches. They're in these matches all the time. They're in this, they're preparing, they're, you know, they have this sink in it. We felt that we were kind of gone out of that situation where we wouldn't be putting in a kind of a bad performance. But maybe I took my eye off the ball in that. But look, I can guarantee we'll be able to perform in 2 weeks' time.
And like, do you have that kind of certainty like that would happen because you played well in the All-Ireland final? You know, you only lost the way a point, you won the league final. Like, it's not as a group
going into a first point and you're like, will the occasion get the better of these fellas? Like?
I think, look, it wasn't the occasion, look, do you know what I mean? Like, I just think, look, we just probably went up ill-prepared to what we were facing and probably hadn't the energy levels that we wanted to do. And in fairness, look, I thought we started well in the second half, you know, and brought back to kind of went from 18 points back to 9 points, back to 10 points. And, look, the goal went in then, and that was the end of that then, you know. But from our point of view, look, it's look, when you put on that Cork jersey, it has to mean something to you. We've been key on that all the time. From our point of view, look, it wasn't acceptable for... And look, we talk about the fans all the time, and that's one thing, but look, at the end of the day, it wasn't acceptable for our group.
Yeah.
It wasn't acceptable for their parents, their families, their friends. That's the real people that you're playing for all the time. And obviously, look, as we spoke about a while ago, people are spending big money to go up there and support us, and we need to make sure that we're honouring that.
Pat, you spoke, you were quite animated last Sunday after the game about the... I suppose the rubbish talk that you described coming up to the Limerick game. How hard is it to keep that out of the dressing room, out of the squad?
Actually, look, to be honest, we weren't really talking about it inside here, but it's hard because, look, fellas are amateur athletes. Do you know what I mean? They're going into work. You're hearing it. Do you know what I mean? I'm not on social media. Do you know what I mean? Fellas are seeing it on social media. There's WhatsApp groups, there's text messages going around. Do you know what I mean? There was even one came into my phone about saving Private Ryan at some stage. Do you know what I mean? And that's the life of it. Do you know what I mean? So, but like,
and,
but do you know what I mean? But the master fella said that to me on the Sunday morning before the fucking match, and I was like, what? Do you know what I mean? So, like, but did you just get on with that? But I just felt like that. And don't get me wrong. Look, I know. Look, it's that's the game we're in now as well, and it's brilliant. We want. Do you know what I mean? That's why we had a media night tonight. Do you know what I mean? I feel we need to promote the games. Do you know, you're all working men, you deserve to be coming down. Some people don't have it, we like to have it, because I think it's we're here to promote the games. Fellas want to hear it, they want to read about the matches. I love reading about the matches myself when I wasn't involved, so that's why we do it. But look, from my point of view, look, I thought, look, some of it was rubbish, like. And you know, the really annoying thing was some of our own people writing off Limerick. Do you know what I mean? Like, after game, do you know what I mean? And that's only setting us up for a fall, like, and it's only, do you know what I mean? There are things that fellas pin to dressing rooms and they pin here, and do you know what I mean? And that couldn't be further from the truth. And that's the way I look, we try to be as humble as we can. Do you know what I mean? That's what we try to do in Cork. And there was, do you know, there was a thing wrote, or a, what was it there done ages ago? Was it around the football thing, which I said John Cleary here hates it. This thing about Corkness. Do you know what I mean? It drives me mad when I hear that thing. What's Corkness? Look, it's about representing the jersey as best you can instead of that. And I don't think that's right. But look, it's from my point of view, I just thought it was, look, I thought a lot of it was wrong. Like, do you know what I mean? And even look, as I said here last week, even about Paddy Power paying out. Like, do you know what I mean? That was only a gimmick and a stunt. And, do you know, wrong for a betting company to be doing that for amateur athletes and putting them under that pressure.
The Cork Hurlers survived the Munster Bear Pit against Waterford last weekend in another fantastic occasion in our very own Super Value Parky Cueve. And what a performance from Patrick Horgan, rolling back the years with his 1-8. Is this the year? Is this the year? One of Cork's greatest ever servants finally gets his Celtic cross.
Is that the winner?
Only time will tell about medals and All-Irelands, and of course you can only play what's in front of you, but lads, we're in with a shout, and sometimes that's all you can ask for. Best of luck to Hoggy and Co. The whole of Cork is behind you. Now looking at the football in Super Value Parky Cueve, and the current score is Cork 18 points to Kerry's 121. So Cork 6 points behind. Looks like we have a fair bit to do, and Kerry are just about to put over another free as well. Time to hear from the enemy's camp now. And Limerick manager John Kiely was put up for interview ahead of a huge Munster hurling final on Saturday.
Not too bad. Look, John, I'll get straight into it. How important is winning Munster, John, on the road to trying to win an All-Ireland?
Well, the last two words definitely aren't on any of our lips right now, I can tell you, or any part of our considerations. You know, the Munster final is a showpiece sporting event here in Ireland, and it's up there with the All-Ireland as a sporting event in its own right. The Ulster football final, you know, in the past, maybe other, you know, the Connacht football final, I think this year showed something of a special nature, I think, to it too. You could see by the reaction from Galway, having won, I think, what was their fourth Connacht title in a row. And it you could see it clearly meant a huge pile to them. So, yeah, I think it's a massive reference point in any player's sporting career to have played in a Munster final, and to win a Munster medal is a great, great honour. And I think it's right up there for the players anyway. And, you know, you can sense that now that the round robin is over. I think everybody is very excited, looking forward to the Munster final. You could sense that in our group, you know, on Wednesday evening last when we trained, that, you know, you could sense that there was a gear shift up, you know, with a view to preparations towards next Saturday week. So, yeah, it's a massive milestone in the sporting and particularly the hurling calendar year. And we're very, very much looking forward to it.
And obviously, John, like a big win against Cork recently. Like, what are you expecting from them now in this game?
Well, I suppose there's two sides to the coin, I suppose, here. For us, like, you don't have to go back too many weeks, really, to when we were beaten here by Wexford and when we were beaten above in Kilkenny in the league. So our focus the following week shifted on really in a very, very microscopic way onto ourselves. We went away in camp and we had a really good camp. And, you know, we played Tipperary in the first round of the round robin. I think the performance of both teams was actually underappreciated on the day and in the week after the game. I think people had written off Tipperary in advance of that fixture. They didn't expect them to be able to get a result, and they didn't expect them to be able to produce a performance like they did. We weren't surprised by that performance that they put in. We actually prepared for that in a major, major way, because we knew going to Thurles it was going to be a huge challenge. And Tipperary put on a fantastic performance. We put up a really, really good performance as well. We should have won that game by a couple of points, possibly. You know, a few chances got away from us. And, you know, we've been building steadily since that game. You know, we went to Waterford, got a good performance in Waterford. It was a bit of a, you know, it was an incremental improvement from the Tipperary game. And again, our third match against Cork, we saw another incremental improvement in our performance levels. So, as we're moving through the championship, to get back to your question, our continual focus is on continual improvement, finding those extra 1% in terms of all the aspects of the game, really. You know, our pass completion rate, our ability to win puck outs, our ability to defend puck outs, you know, our shooting accuracy is a huge factor, obviously, in the game. So we're continuously looking for improvements in our performance levels right throughout the championship. And that's where, you know, 90% of our focus will be going into this Munster final again, to see if we can find more enhanced performance levels in ourselves. And of course, we'll have some view to Cork and what they bring. Like, they're an incredible side. You know, last year they beat us twice and beat us, you know, fair and square on the board. So it's a really good team. I think there's a great rivalry there between us. You know, that's, you know, there's no denying that. Who'd want to deny it? It's a great thing to have rivalries in sport, and it's a great thing to be a part of rivalries in sport. And we've seen that for the last number of years with ourselves and Clare, who've met in the last three Munster finals. You know, the kind of matches that they've always invariably turned out to be. So yeah, they're just special sporting occasions, and we want to try and be at our best and to put the best version of ourselves out there, and hopefully it'll be good enough.
And just finally, I had one quick one, John. Obviously, there's a price hike for the game. The fans, some of them not happy about it. Just what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah, listen, sure. The supporters are never going to be happy with a price hike in tickets. It's a big commitment to be a supporter in the first place. And, you know, they're going to league matches. They're going to all the championship matches, and there's, you know, there's a lot of those matches in a short period of time. And I think that's the biggest piece, really. You know, it's the fact that we're coming off the back of four round robin games, and now we're into the Munster final, and it's all happened in the space of 7 weeks. It's a lot of expense in a short period of time. People are looking towards the summer, looking towards summer holidays, you know, kids going away on summer camps, all those type of things. So it's just an added expense on a family in particular, where you're trying to bring, you know, two adults, two or three kids to the match, and it's going to cost you a nice few quid to go. So I think that's the big piece. If the season was more stretched out, the expense is spread out as well with it. And that's maybe something that needs to be taken into consideration, that it's a big hit for families all in the one time. So I think, you know, people haven't been giving out to me about the price of the tickets too much. I think it's more about getting your hands on one is the biggest problem at the moment. So, yeah, listen, I think we're going to have a fantastic occasion here. And I think the onus maybe goes back on the Munster Council now. You know, ultimately, they're the ones who are gathering this additional revenue. And I think maybe in the course of the next 12 months, they need to make it visibly clear to everybody what the additional revenues went towards. I think that would be something that would be very much appreciated by the paying public. Do I place any edits? Well, do you know what? There's one great beauty in it. You can relax afterwards. You don't have to go getting on a bus, you know. You've done enough as it is, so it's they're long days, they're hard days, but when it's over, you just want to relax. And as you will have seen, you know, when we have been here in the Gaelic grounds, we have relaxed afterwards and taken our time, because they do take a share out of you, and it's nice to be able to enjoy the moment with your teammates, whether it's good or bad. You know, you want to be able to sit down with your teammates afterwards and just say, listen, we gave our best version of ourselves, and it was either good enough or it wasn't good enough on the day, and just enjoy each other's company, because they're rare days. We've been very fortunate. We've been part of these for the last number of years, but it's not lost on us. As in 2013, the previous Munster title was 1996. So, you know, I keep reminding the boys of, you know, the longer periods of time that Limerick experienced without a Munster title win, or maybe even a Munster title appearance or a Munster final appearance. So yeah, they're very much attuned to that. They love these occasions. They really, really love these occasions, and they look forward to them. It means a great, great deal to them to be in the Munster final. And would you pick out any of them over each other's? They've actually all had their own special piece, you know, to be honest with you. I think we saw that, as I mentioned earlier, with Galway. You know, you can see that these, you know, these provincial titles are special milestones in a player's sporting life. There's only a couple of big days in the calendar year where you know, there's trophies up for grabs: the league final, the Munster final for us, and for the All-Ireland final. So you have to make the most of all of them that come along. So yeah, I've enjoyed every single one of them. They have been special. There's, you know, when you're in the bus coming up the Innes Road and you see the mix of colour, you know, the one in 2023, I think in particular with Clare, the colour was such, you know, outside the Green Hills Hotel, there was like 5,000-6,000 Clare supporters, and we drove up through them, and it would make the hair stand in the back of your neck. It was just an incredible moment. And you looked up the road and there was about 10,000 Limerick supporters coming out against you. You know, in any other society, war would have broke out, but thankfully in the GAA, it's a shared celebration of a really special sporting event that people far and wide from Ulster, Connacht and Leinster want to actually come and savour and enjoy. And long may that be the case.
Absolutely. Just my last one then, John. Like, it sounds like a contradiction or an oxymoron, but the win over Cork the last day, it was so clinical, and yet it felt incredibly emotional afterwards for yourselves. Are you looking for less emotion? Do you tell your players to be less emotional in the Munster final now that it's Cork against so soon, or how do you approach it that way?
Yeah, listen, the process of preparation is very detailed, and you know, for ourselves and on the opposition, there's a lot of detail involved. But, you know, on top of the detail, you know, you have to have that little piece of you know, the reality of the emotion of what's at stake, number one, and what it would mean to be successful, number two. And, you know, those rivalries between, you know, your opponents add that extra layer to it, because that's, you know, it does bring additional meaning to it. And yeah, that's what sport is all about, isn't it? You know, that's what sport is truly about. It's a really important ingredient in sport. It's what we all enjoy about sport. And yeah, there's always that certain amount of emotion in there. I suppose it's controlling it and having it in the right way and using it for the right purpose to get the right outcome, you know. So it should be an energy giver rather than an energy taker. And managing that emotion is a task in itself to make sure that that's what happens.
That was John Kiley there. Right, we have a competition for you here on the Big Red Bench. I have two pairs of tickets to give away to Ireland's clash with Slovenia right here in Cork in Super Value Prokhorov this Tuesday. To win them, answer the following. Who is the Republic of Ireland women's team captain? That's who is the Republic of Ireland women's team captain. Answers to our phone on 0818 104 106 or on our WhatsApp. That's 0868 104 106. That's all we have time for here in the first half in the Big Red Bench, but stay with us, as plenty to come.
Red FM.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times, Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next half hour. And in case you missed it before the break, not to go on it too much, I do have the two pairs of tickets to give away to Ireland's clash with Slovenia right here in Cork in Parkhead on Tuesday. And to win them, answer the following. Who is the Republic of Ireland's women's team captain? So answers to our phone on 0818 104 106 or hit us up on our WhatsApp 0868 104 106 with the answer. If you want to help me out, send your email there as well so we can send the tickets to you if you win. And sticking with the football now, and Cork City drew with Shells in Turner's Cross last night, and our very own Roy O'Hagan caught up with New City boss Ger Nash.
Ger, honours even here at Turner's Cross, but that was an excellent performance from your side.
Pleased, really pleased for the players, pleased for the staff, pleased with a lot of aspects of the game. I hope the fans that came here tonight saw what we want the team to look like, a passionate team, front-footed team, really care about the club and how they represent themselves. And I've seen that all week, which is where the performance comes from. And I was pleased with the performance tonight, and there's a twinge of I think we could have had 3 points. Maybe Damien will think different, but it was a tough game, a competitive game, and I'm pleased for the players. Yeah.
What pleased you most about how your side played tonight?
I was pleased with aspects of the control of the game. I was pleased with aspects of limiting them to opportunities, which is a really important thing for us. And I was really pleased for the players how they saw the game out, because we nearly nicked it at the end, and it would be absolutely no problem. It wasn't against the run of play in any way. So when I hear a lot of the noise about what the group has had what's been happening, and I've heard that noise a lot since I've been here. I'm pleased for the players that we had the control that we had in the game, and I'm pleased that we weren't hanging on. We were thinking about us. And we were thinking about winning the game.
Was the concession of late goals in the last couple of weeks mentality thing that you've had to change over the last couple of weeks?
I don't know if it's changed yet, but I believe in what I've had from the players in the 6 sessions we've had. That's what I believe in. I believe in the effort they've had. I believe they care for the club. That's the bare minimum I expect. That's the bare minimum I have to see. I've seen that, so that's why I'm pleased for them. I don't know what's gone on before. I wasn't here, we need to. Replicate and improve on aspects of performance, but I'm pleased with the effort of the players and the commitment of them, and it's pleased me.
Sean Maguire took a terrific goal, but that was a beautiful cross from Milan as well.
Yeah, it was a wonderful goal, a brilliant goal. It was my first goal at the cross, and to see the place erupt was brilliant. And Milan's been really good since I've come to the club. Sean, he's been really good on the pitch, but also a really good leader in the dressing room, and that's really important. So I'm really pleased for him, because he could be somewhere else. He could be in what's perceived as a higher level. But he wants to be here. He cares about it, and so I'm really pleased for him. But I'm really pleased for the whole team, because everyone played their part. The subs that came into the game played their part. how the group have trained all week in the time I've been here, in fact. So, and the staff, like I said, you know, the staff have gone through a lot here over the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. There's been caretaker managers. There's been different things going on. That's not easy for people. Liam Kearney's been at least double jobbing. You know, so Greg Bulger's been an immense help. You know, he's trying to play, and he's trying to play, and he's trying to help on the coaching side, and he's done a really good job. So, yeah, I've lost my train of thought there, but I'm pleased with everyone.
It took a wonder goal from Ali Coote for Shelburne to get level, but you feel you could have closed down a bit earlier.
Look, I need to see it back. You know, the game's over 10 minutes and you come in here and you do these things. I need to see it back. It was definitely a good strike, you know, credit to him. And sometimes that happens. You know, sometimes if someone has a good shot, we'll have to look at, could we have got closer to it? Could we show them somewhere else? Whatever small details we can do to make it better. It looked like a good strike from the lad, and it looked like a game that had two good goals.
The mid-season break is obviously happening this week. Damien Duff is quite vocal about it this week, saying that the League of Ireland shouldn't have a mid-season break, that it's a bit amateurish. What's your thought on that?
I've been in this league for 14 days, so I think I'll spend a bit more time in the league before I'm giving my opinions on stuff I don't know exactly. I don't know exactly how this league works yet, so I'm figuring that out as I go. So I think I'll calm down on that one. Firstly, I'm just looking forward to seeing my son.
Finally, Dave Myler's announced as your assistant yesterday. What do you hope he'll bring to the setup?
More of what we've had this week. Passion. Care. I know he'll care about this football team, and he'll care about the city. I know he'll be walking around this city the same way as I am, with people telling them how they feel about it. I want him to bring his talent, and yeah, I want him to bring him.
Thanks, Sharon. Enjoy the time with your son.
Thank you.
Yeah, City unlucky to get all 3 points last night in the cross. Yeah, the latest from Super Value Park, even it did finish up there actually. Cork 20 points to Kerry's 128, so Cork leading by a point at half time. Went on to get, let's call it a spade, an absolute hammer in there. Munster are ahead at halftime, though, against the Sharks in South Africa. They're leading 7-0 at half point. Calvin Nash with the try converted by our very own Jack Crowley. So hopefully things stay rosy in the garden on the rugby side of things anyway. To a bit of ladies football now, having missed out on silverware in Division 2 of the league. And in Munster, Cork's focus is now on trying to win the TG Cahir All-Ireland Senior Ladies Football Championship. And Captain Sarah Leahy has been speaking to Rachel Sheehan.
League and Munster in particular is so competitive, and like obviously we were disappointed with the way we exited the Munster Championship, but I think, you know, there was plenty to learn from, you know, and we had, you know, extra weeks and extra time to train, so we did lift the standards of training the last few weeks, so we're feeling positive going into All Ireland Championship now.
Getting to the Division 2 league final this year, being Galway, maybe a bit of a disappointing performance, but how good will it have been to get experience into that young squad playing in Crokey?
Absolutely. I think, you know, that experience is invaluable, especially coming into the All-Ireland series now. And look, we were disappointed with the loss, but, you know, we had a positive first half, so there were plenty of positives to take from it as well, so hopefully we get there now again.
All rivals Kerry are going to rear their head in your group league against your Kerry and Mayo up against you. How will you face up against them again in the All-Ireland series?
So yeah, no, Kerry and Mayo are two, you know, we can't underestimate those teams, two very, very strong teams. So we're just going to focus on ourselves. We've plenty to learn from, and we've plenty to work on the last few weeks. So hopefully we can take those learnings and apply them properly now into the two games coming up.
A lot of people might call this Cork team a team in transition over the last couple of years, but there seems to be a lot of people, including yourself, who've really cemented yourselves on this team. Have there been people kind of standing up and being counted in the last year or two as younger leaders?
Absolutely. Younger leaders is exactly what I would call it as well. You know, and I think the youth as well, and those younger players, they bring such pace and such energy to the game as well. So there's so much positives with having a younger team too. So I definitely think that hopefully we can use that to our advantage in the championship.
To a bit of Camogie now, and Camogie President Brian Malloy spoke to Oran Johnson at the launch of the Glen Dimplex All-Ireland Camogie Championship.
Brian, obviously a great turnout, I suppose, from players today, but on short notice as well, wasn't it?
Well, I think the notice was probably there over a period of time, all right, but the focus was really on making sure that we gave the Glen Dimplex Championship a good launch, and we did, and certainly had a great chat with the players down there. They're all in great form, and I appreciate their time because, you know, they're working, they're in college, they're doing stuff themselves, and coming across to Croke Park for the launches like today, that they give their time so willingly, and I'm so appreciative of that fact.
obviously it's always an exciting time when you get to the All-Ireland Championship phase, but I think it's probably more exciting this term round because, as we would remember from last year's finals, there was a couple of teams overlapping that we would have seen, obviously the two Cork teams winning and Kilkenny being in the intermediates as well as being in the senior competition last year in Tipperary and the junior and the Premier Junior. It's really exciting time to be watching the All-Ireland this time round because obviously every cup will have its own separate teams, won't it?
Yeah, so we're going to have six separate counties in our All-Ireland finals this year with the change that we made to the second team. So there's a separate competition now for second teams as an under 23, and the second teams were always seen as development squads by the counties that had enough numbers to do it. Well, we kind of said, well, let's make them proper development squads and put an age cap on it and separate it out. And it just means then that each of the three competitions are standalone, and we're guaranteed to have six separate counties, which should be great from an attendance perspective as well as an excitement perspective on the day.
I mean, obviously, last year there was a great attendance, probably not the same as the year beforehand. But, you know, to look at this year, the big messaging now is to fill out Croke Park. Is that a realistic expectation, do you think?
I don't see why not. I think we have to raise our ambition on that. From my perspective, the 2 weeks previously and 3 weeks previously, the Croke Park would be absolutely jammed and there'll be probably a couple of thousand people unhappy at not getting tickets. And if we're serious about supporting female participation in our national sports, which is what we're talking about here, female participation, and Camogie has got a huge amount of attention over the last number of weeks and a huge amount of support, which is absolutely brilliant. What we need to see now is, well, let's translate that support into something really tangible. On August 10th, we're going to have historic All-Ireland Finals. It'll be the first time that the players in our All-Ireland Finals will be wearing different attire. And that's important. But it'll be amazing, I think, if actually we made it historic for another reason. It'll be the first time that we filled out Croke Park for our All-Ireland Finals. And remember, there'll be three finals, six different teams, and the ticket price, and I can say it here, it's €30. So it's phenomenally good value for people to come along and support, get the three games. There'll also be under 14 squads from all across the country are all there doing a parade as they do every year in Croke Park for our finals. So it's a really attractive day out for all ages and for men and women to come along and support the Camogie and support their counties and support female participation in our national sport. And that's why I'm unashamedly saying we need to fill Croke Park on August 10th. All of those people who have been very, very actively supporting Camogie and supporting Camogie players over the last number of weeks, keep that support up. Talk to your constituents, talk to your support base, talk to your followers and say to them, August 10th, come to Croke Park and support the Camogie Finals.
Obviously, a big message obviously from yourself here today and over the last few years has been obviously trying to increase attendance at matches. I suppose one thing I was going to ask about this year, and obviously it was a case last year where the quarterfinals of the All-Ireland Championship coincided with a doubleheader for the semi-finals of the hurling. Is that something that you think maybe drew off support for those quarterfinals because of the demand for tickets for the hurling semi-finals and because of the price difference obviously between regular Camogie games and getting that doubleheader ticket on that day?
I suppose there's pros and cons to any of these doubleheader type models that we go with. There is value, I think, and it goes down very well across our support base to have the quarterfinals linked in with the hurling semifinals. It's worked quite well for the last couple of years. We keep an eye on it all the time, but I'm fairly confident that overall it's a positive piece to have our Camogie quarterfinals linked in with the semifinals, and I think it'll work again this year for us.
I suppose, obviously, we have to touch on the recent motion passing of now players being allowed to wear skirts or shorts. I suppose it lends itself to being almost an historic occasion for this year's All-Ireland competition as well, as it'll be the first time the players will wear shorts in this competition.
Absolutely. There has been a lot of attention on the game over the last number of weeks, and that's positive. My job as president is to lead, and that's what I try to do, deliver the change that the players wanted, deliver the change that our members all across the country clearly demonstrated that they wanted, but do it in accordance with our rules, do it the correct way. We did it in record quick time. When you think about it, the first email that came across my desk about this year was on the 30th of April, and by the 22nd of May, we had delivered that fundamental change. So it was done as quickly as possible. It has generated a huge amount of attention and a huge amount of support, and my view is that's positive. Let's turn that to our advantage and make sure that the girls continue to get that level of support in that tangible way, and that's what I'm hoping to happen on August the 10th when those people all come along and watch the girls play, because they're brilliant. And you've seen games yourself, you've seen how high the standard is in our All-Ireland Championship. The quality of game is absolutely phenomenal, and it'll be brilliant for people to come along and see that on the world stage in the finest stadium we have in this country.
Brian Malloy, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
sticking with Camogie and Cork power past Tipperary in their championship clash earlier today, winning out 3-21 to 1-9. And we were lucky enough to be sent audio afterwards by Rory Noonan of The Echo as he caught up with captain Maeve Cathalan after the game.
Maeve, obviously two wins under your belts, nice win here today. Coming up the rag is never easy, but those goals I think set the end and effectively the match was over maybe at that stage.
Yeah, we knew coming up here today would be a lot tougher ask than last week, and you know, I think our forwards just started on form and they really ran at the Tipperary defence, and you know, getting those three goals in the first half really kind of, you know, gave us a stepping stone going into the second half, and we were just able to hold it out even though Tip came at us there at times in the second half, and you know, they were kind of going direct with the ball, I suppose, but at that stage we had enough scores on the board and just delighted to come out with a win.
I suppose the wind was a factor there. You probably had it in the first half. You built up a great score. It was up to them really to try and knock it down, and you, defensively you stood up when you needed it in the second half, led by you in the second half.
Yeah, I suppose we kind of opted to go with the wind in the first half. Just felt that if we could get the ball in early, that our forwards, you know, they've really carried form in, I suppose, from the league. And I think it was Clodagh, Katrina and Amy got the three goals, and they've been unbelievable in training, nearly unmarkable the last couple of weeks. So you know, going into the second half then against the wind, we probably felt that we needed to just carry it out that bit more. So kind of, I suppose, our middle third got on the ball that bit more, and then we had, you know, our subs come in who gave us more energy and, you know, got scores on the board. So, you know, another job done and 2 weeks off, and you know, we've the Clare game now to look forward to.
I suppose that's the most important thing, because this probably would have been a game that you knew was going to be hard, and to get this win, it puts you in a good position going into the Clare match.
It does, and I think it's a game that we kind of targeted since the groups came out. Tipperary are always a tough team at this time of the year. They're a championship team. I'm sure we'll be meeting them, you know, further on in the season as well, but you know, they've some big players, and you know, we just knew that we had to be at our best. If you kind of take your eye off the ball out there, you know, Tipperary can get a goal or two in seconds, so we just kind of felt defensively if we stood them up. But I just thought our forwards were awesome. Like the pressure they put on Tipperary's backs coming out, it made our lives a lot easier.
You're great for praising the forwards, like, but you're not so great to prepare your own defence. Once again today, like, Laura Hayes, yeah, Yourself, Maeve in the corner, like, you know, they didn't give Tipperary an ounce for the game, none of them, like, you know, so it's great to praise the forwards. But I thought the Cork defence in that second half in particular, when they needed to be against that wind, were magnificent.
Yeah, and the backs, you know, it's just, I suppose, nearly we're in sync now at this stage. We just probably know, like, when to go and when to tackle, because we know there's someone behind us or someone beside us. And I suppose just we've played together now for the last 2 or 3 years, and you know, anyone who slots in there at the moment seems to do so seamlessly. And you know, we're probably still without Libby Coppinger at the moment to her injury, so even without her, you know, she's another big addition to come back. But I suppose that just comes down to our communication as well. We always know kind of when the danger is coming and not. And I thought Laura Tracy was brilliant there. She just plays that role so well. It allows us all to push up on our player, and she just kind of sweeps in behind. So
you mentioned Libby there. Obviously, she's one of a few players, Saoirse McCarron, another, coming back today from injury. I suppose this break now gives you a chance to get them all right before the Clare match, you know, and drive on after that then again.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, there's never a good time to pick up an injury, but I suppose, you know, they have 2 weeks now to hopefully, you know, get another bit of time into their recovery. And it was great to see Saoirse come on there. She hasn't played since the league final, so you know, she's done a lot of work in the background there the last number of weeks to try and get back, and it was just great to see her back on the pitch today. And you know, I'll probably be marking her now in training and next week, and I probably won't be looking forward to that, but no, hopefully, you know, Libby will be another week or two, and you know, hopefully she can get time under her belt now heading into the Clare and Wexford games ahead.
As you said, no, obviously take a break for a few days, but then all concentration on Clare.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, we probably take Monday off now and back on the field on Wednesday, reflect on this game. But you know, I suppose we take it game by game. Our focus this week was the Tipperary game, and we'll probably speak about this now Wednesday night, put that to bed and focus on the Clare game then.
To football now, and the Republic of Ireland women's team are playing Slovenia in Cork this Tuesday. It's taking place in Super Value Parky Cave. And let's hear a presser audio from earlier in the week from Megan Connolly.
Yeah, really enjoyed it. Obviously, at the start, it was quite difficult. Quite a big change from moving from England, being there for 6 years, and then going to Italy, like new culture, new everything. So yeah, it was a bit of a shock at the start. But yeah, now I'm absolutely loving it. The league is great. The football's great. Obviously, the club at Lazio was fantastic. The training's great. The players, the staff. So yeah, I think while I took quite a big risk to go there, I think for me personally, I look back on it as such a great decision for me personally and for my career.
How would you, I suppose, judge the standard in terms of, you know, would it compare to Championship or WSL?
I'd say WSL for sure. You got some fantastic players there, you know, a lot of the Italian players there. There's a lot of international players that have relocated to Italy last year. And I think it's a growing league. And yeah, it would compete with the WSL for sure. Obviously, you have some of the best teams in Europe. You got Arsenal and Chelsea and City and stuff in the WSL, which are obviously hard to compete with. But yeah, you got some fantastic teams in Italy. And yeah, the level is top.
Just reflecting on your season in Italy, it obviously finished very strongly the way the league worked. It's a split season, but you guys finished top of the group in the second half of the season, finishing really strongly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we were kind of disappointed that the league split when it did, because we were coming into really good form. We had some really good results, and I think we'd only just missed out on the top bit by one result. So yeah, it was quite disappointing in that end that we couldn't continue playing, obviously, the likes of Juve, Roma, Fiorentina and the two Milans. But yeah, I think we played really well in the last, obviously, 8 games that we played, and it kind of set us up really well for next year. Obviously, they're changing it next year where it doesn't split. There's obviously 2 more teams, it doesn't split next year. So, yeah, I think next year we'll push on even more, which is exciting. And obviously, yeah, there's some great teams in there and great players on the team. So, yeah, next year will be quite exciting.
What was the experience like of playing in the Rome derby, Rome and Lazio?
It was great, yeah. Obviously, I didn't know what to expect. Like, you hear so much about it, and, you know, obviously in England there's rivalries, but yeah, it's just a bit different. You know, you have obviously when we played at Roma with the fans and stuff, like, you got grown men shouting at you. So it was quite a shock, but it was a nice one. You know, it was a good atmosphere, and yeah, we played well in both games. We played Roma, so I think it made it quite a good game, a quite good atmosphere, and yeah, obviously next year hopefully we'll take some points off them.
And how are you finding the Italian experience? How are you getting on learning the language and, you know, living in Rome?
Yeah, really enjoying it. As I said at the start, it was quite difficult, but once you kind of like immerse yourself into the culture and really kind of try and learn it, try and learn from everyone in the team, obviously the Italians, and they're the same. They're trying to learn the English culture, the English language and everything with Ireland and stuff. So it's nice. But yeah, the language is quite difficult. It was never my forte in school, the languages. So it's quite difficult, but I'm doing lessons every week. I'm not sure if it's making much of a difference for me. But yeah, you learn a lot on the pitch. You learn a lot in the training ground, like with the football stuff. So I can understand a good bit, but yeah, I couldn't do an interview in Italian at all now. So I'm not like Nia Farley, because I know when she went there, she done quite a great interview in Italian. But yeah, I wouldn't expect that from me anytime soon.
And last one for me, just the experience of playing in Porky Cueve the last time. You know, you had a very good contribution late on in the game. You provided the assist for Anna Patton's goal. I'm sure you want to be able to contribute again like that on Tuesday evening.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming in and being able to get that assist and kind of, I think that really secured the game at the end, like getting that extra goal was nice. So yeah, hopefully the same crowd comes out, the same noise is there. Obviously the pitch was fantastic the last time as well. Down in Cork, they always keep it so well. I know there's lots of games on it with the GAN stuff, but the pitch quality was unreal. And obviously the fans and the atmosphere. So yeah, hopefully, as I said, we get the result Friday and we make Tuesday what it is, and we can get another good result, because Tuesday, if we get the win on Friday, Tuesday will be even more important to be able to have a good performance and get the result we need.
Just again, on last summer, I mean, you know, you came into this window, I think you'd already known what was happening, and like, you know, the move came quite late. So I'm just kind of reflecting maybe what the summer was like. I mean, I'd say that was there a lot of uncertainty, or was it actually very, very busy and you were having lots of chats? I mean, what was it like?
To be fair, it was quite long. You know, obviously last summer was quite a difficult window to be in, because everyone left it quite late. You know, a lot of clubs left it until end of July to kind of really start doing things. For me, I had one or two conversations early on in the window. But yeah, I kind of waited out a bit. And it's one of those ones, once you make that decision, you have to kind of trust the process and trust your decision. And yeah, there was moments it was quite difficult, kind of just the waiting game and certain things and waiting for something that felt right. You know, when you moving away from a club and making a decision, you kind of want to make it worth it. And you, the reasons behind leaving a club. And yeah, for me, it was at moments it was difficult. But yeah, looking back on it now, I'm really grateful because yeah, for me, the move to Lazio was really good for me personally and in my career as well.
Yeah. Because like we're all aware at the kind of middle end, I mean, there's not even at the top end, there's not a huge amount of money. So you're not like, you're not deciding between this, so many million here and so many million there. So like, I guess that sometimes, I know you're quite mature at this stage, but there still would be, given the state of the game, maybe almost an anxiety to take the first move, you know, because at least somebody wants me, I'll take that. It's a steady job. So to actually to wait for something that you felt was right was kind of I don't know, reflect, you kind of pretty reflects where you are in your career and your life, I guess, does it?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, as I said, at that point of my career, yeah, there's certain things that I value quite a lot. Obviously, I'd been at Brighton for a while. I'd been at Bristol where I was captain. So I had some great relationships and great experiences, and I kind of knew what I wanted, and I knew the next move I wanted to go somewhere where, you know, playing football, you know, where I could kind of develop and develop my football and also have that feeling of being a key player and being someone who can kind of implement their leadership, implement, you know, my style of play and everything that I bring to the pitch. And yeah, obviously I waited quite a bit, and then obviously Lazio came on, and yeah, as soon as I had the first phone call, I knew straight away. And it's hard to put into words the feeling, but it was exactly what I was waiting for the whole time, was like getting that feeling of a club who their ambitions, their style of play, how they want to play, the manager, how they valued me, how they saw me. And yeah, as soon as I received that call, I felt like, okay, the waiting was worth it. And this was the move. And looking back on it now, it was, it panned out how I had hoped for it.
Yeah, so, yeah.
The waiting paid off.
Sure. Yeah. And you have another year and an option. Is that right?
No. So I just signed 2 years. So I have two more years now.
Yeah. 2 years in total or 3 years in total?
2 years. So I just signed a new deal with them for 2 years. So,
lovely. Yeah. That's well done. Because you know, as you see, with sadly other clubs, there's not always that stability. And just your impressions of return to, like you talk about College Corinthians there. I mean, you know, will you get a chance to go back, or have you had many chances to go back? I can't remember if you were there last year during this window, but you know, it's. Like back in the day, I mean, you know, your biggest idol was your brother, I guess, kind of beating the crap out of him in the garden. But like now, they can all see you as this kind of role model. I'm just wondering, will you get a chance to go back at all, or even just talk about how, no matter with Katie up in Talla here and all throughout the land, like there's a sense of an Irish player that can maybe develop, because you know numbers are. Everybody's chasing numbers in this game, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously last year before the Cork game, I got back.